Our guest for this afternoon, Courtney Lyon from Ballet Quad Cities, is sitting right across the console from me here in our studios. Courtney has graciously offered to come over and kind of help us learn a little bit more about what it's like to create a ballet. Courtney, welcome, and thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you so much, Mindy, for inviting me.
Well, you and I had kind of talked a little bit about this back at the beginning of your season when we were kind of laying out all of the exciting productions that Ballet Quad Cities was doing, and you are creating something brand new with Alice in Wonderland. I mean, this is kind of Courtney's choreography creation, right?
Yes, it sure is.
And, you know, we got to thinking about it, and as we were talking about it, it was like, I had some questions for you, and then, you know, you had this great idea, why don't we talk about what it's like to create a ballet? Let's talk a little bit about the creative process, because you're kind of still in it.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to Alice in Wonderland. That's coming at the end of March.
Yeah, about middle March, March 24th. We'll be at the Adler Theater.
And there's two performances.
2 o'clock and 8 o'clock.
And you're going to be partnering with Orchestra.
Orchestra Iowa, mm-hmm. Yes. And we'll be, if you can't make it the weekend of the 24th, we'll be the previous weekend, March 16th, Friday, in Cedar Rapids with Orchestra Iowa at the Paramount Theater. So we have 2 weekends.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So people can't see it here locally. They could maybe take a quick road trip to
yes.
Cedar Rapids.
Yep.
All
yes.
right, the weekend before. So you're looking at roughly, what, 3 performances of Alice?
Mm-hmm. Plus a school show. So we have a school matinee performance for our area school kiddos. So yeah, so we have 4 performances.
Well, I was thinking, what a cool story to create a ballet around. I mean, Alice in Wonderland, it's like one of those beloved classics that most of us probably read at some point in our childhood, or some of us still reread
sure.
every now and again,
yeah.
because it's so rich in unique characters and this unique world that one would think this is a story that is ideally suited for ballet.
It is. It is and it isn't. I mean, it really is
okay.
because of all the fun characters and the great writing and the desire to bring that classic literature to life, and the word play, the puns, and just the humor, and like the creativity within the literature is like ripe for exploration for choreography and ballet. But I say it isn't because the isn't part is like, it's terrifying. Like, oh my gosh, how am I going to show Alice falling down a rabbit hole? Like, there are things that like, oh, if you're Walt Disney, you can show it this way. You can draw it this way. You can cut away in the movie to this, or, you know, special effects. But like, this is live dance. We don't have special effects. We don't have, you know, CG, whatever movies have that, you know. So, it's like really, really cool. So I have these like awesome problems to solve, creative problems to solve. So
logistical.
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah. So it's like perfect for a ballet, but I say like, oh, it isn't. It isn't, because it can also be somewhat like terrifying. Like this, like, how do you solve this? How is it? And I think I said the same exact thing to you last year. I was sitting in here, we were working on Billy the Kid.
Yes.
And I said to you, like, how am I going to show like a stampede of horses through going through the desert with this gunfight? And, you know, you figure it out.
Well, you know, I think a lot of times, I know when people say the word choreography, or most of us think of the word choreography, probably what most of us, what comes to mind is either ballet or some kind of dancing, either in music videos where everybody's together, or the halftime Super Bowl show. And you bring up a good point that choreography really kind of includes a lot of different aspects of dance and form. It can be in video games where you synchronize movement to music, you know, animated, just like you were talking about with the Disney films. You can do it with CGI if you happen to have the special effects technique. People do it in musical theater, in marching band. Cheerleaders do it. I mean, when you think about that, there's different kinds of choreography. We're watching ice dancing
exactly.
and ice skating now. That's all choreography. Mm-hmm. Somebody has put that together. Gymnastics, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So really, when you're thinking of choreography and what you're doing, you're taking a story, and then you're kind of thinking a lot like music, that you are going to compose dance movements that will go along with that. So maybe that's where we should start, is kind of at the beginning with a good working definition from someone who knows of what choreography is, perhaps explained balletically as from Quad Cities Ballet.
Sure. Well, I guess as generic as you can get, choreography is arranging dance steps to serve a purpose. So whatever your purpose is, you have to identify your purpose. So it's like you were saying, you know, with the gymnastics or the ice dancing, or if you're, you know, trying to sell something on a commercial, like it's all to make you feel something, look at something, have the desire to know more about something. Like movement tells a story, and we are using the movement usually at Ballet Quad Cities to tell stories like the Nutcracker, Alice in Wonderland, or sometimes we do something that's a little bit less narrative, but still is maybe evoking an atmosphere, a feeling, referring to artwork or poetry. There's so much you can do with choreography. There's so much more, I feel like, sometimes you can do with choreography than you can do with words.
Yes, good point. So it's still really basic. At the heart of it, it's about communication.
It is about communication. So the most subtle movement you can do, just moving your hand, is choreography, because it means something, and it means something different to everyone. So the way you put different movements together is going to mean something. And so then it's, you agree, there's some universal gestures that mean something, like the universal sign for choking or waving hello, or go, you know, there's like gestures we know that we all can refer to, but then there's like a million gestures out there we don't really know what they mean, but if you link them together in a certain way, they'll make you laugh. But like, why do they make you laugh? Or it makes you feel sad, you know, they refer to something. And so it's just coming up with a movement phrase. So it's just like writing. It's a phrase or a composition, your most basic phrase. So you come up with a movement phrase. You link a few steps together. And if we're choosing to use ballet as our vocabulary, we can take ballet steps like an arabesque or a pirouette or a jump, you know, some kind of jump. Or you can use any kind of movement. I like to draw from any human experience. So I like to combine ballet with pedestrian movements like walking, or just, and I like to invent, I don't know, I just like to just see what can the human body do. And then you link those movements together into a phrase, and then you have to start developing that phrase. So it's much like a composer will do, where you have your short piece of music, and then it evolves. So if it's like a longer symphony, and the piece of music, the melody starts wandering, or it gets passed around to different instruments, or it gets embellished, or it gets inverted, you can do the same thing with choreography. So you can just play with that short piece of choreographic phrase, and just, you can come up with material for hours of dance through that short phrase. And so that's where I really start when I, everyone has a different process, but that's how I start. Mm-hmm. I just start playing with a piece of movement that I feel like is interesting, and I don't necessarily have an outcome for it. So if I'm working on something that has characters, eventually I understand that I'll need to define each character, but I won't say, I'm going to make something, for example, that Alice would do. I'm not going to limit myself. So it's like brainstorming. You just don't limit anything. You don't say anything is good or bad. I just look for something that sparks something in me. And I usually involve the dancers in that process, because I know what things feel like to my body, but I don't really know what they look like. I want to be on the outside of it. So I want to be an observer, like the audience would be. So I will use my words to get the dancers to start moving, or I initiate some movements and they follow me. And then I look at them and I think, you know, where can that go? Or what does that make me think? And I really study it. So they become the artistic tools in front of me that I then begin molding. And so their creativity and their humor and their willingness to try anything is a really cool part of the process, because sometimes they'll do something I didn't expect or I didn't mean. I meant to move their left hand and they move their right hand in a different way. And I was like, oh, that's better than what I came up with. So yeah, leave that there. And so then I start getting these long phrases, and then I'll think to myself, you know what? That looks like the Mad Hatter. I would have thought that would have been, you know, so it's like, I don't exactly decide where everything is going to end up. I just make a bunch of stuff. So it's like that creative flow. I just make and make and make and make and make. And usually I don't even work with music for a long time, which I think some people might find surprising. Yeah. Or even I think dancers at first, if they haven't worked with me, might find it a little bit different, because they'll say, well, is this the beginning pose? And I'll say, oh, well, I don't even know what piece of music this is going to. Like, no, no, no. We're just like totally like splatter painting. We're just making stuff. And then after a while, Because the clock is ticking as it always is, and we always have to get something up on stage, it'll be time to turn on the music. So then we'll start working with the music phrasing, and that's where I really lean on the composer to help me evolve my dance phrases to match the music and characters and all that.
So when you're starting off with these dance sequences, and again, I mean, choreography is basically like music composing. You are dance writing. You said you kind of start more with motion. The two things that popped into my head right away that would go with that would be motion and form. So at what, if you could maybe explain to us a little bit, I mean, again, it seems on the surface like this would be somewhat obvious, but I think there's probably a little bit more detailed descriptions of what goes on between the motions that you're thinking of and the form. Because when you're describing some of the dancers, I'm thinking different dancers probably bring different form, even if there's established forms of ballet poses, if that's what we're talking, if that's what form refers to, or is it more of an attitude, the way that they hold their body, the way that they maybe execute one of the motions that you've put in front of them. So, what would be the difference for you between, like, say, motion and form?
By form, are you speaking about the dancer's body itself? How like the shapes it's making?
That's what, or just or the traditional poses if you're starting with
No, that's
traditional
really
pose.
cool. Okay. So yes, so there is when you're learning to dance, you learn poses. Usually as a child, you like learn two ways to dance. You learn the poses and the name of their poses, and then you learn how to put the poses together. And then you learn like, oh, that really is what dance is. It's putting the poses together. So when I'm working with a dancer, yes, we can all make the same shape with our bodies, but the way we get from one shape to another, that you said attitude, that just like made me think of, certain dancers have like a little bit different way of getting from point A to point B, and then that really can give you like an artistic jumping off point for a character.
So it kind of can that there's a real fluidity then in the whole process as you kind of go between probably the motions that you're thinking in your head. And then when you see certain dancers execute those, does that sort of help you then decide maybe whose roles will go where?
Oh, absolutely. Because I could cast it before I walked into the ballet studio and have it all, squared away in my head, but really it's a stuff that you make in the moment. And so I will think, oh, this person is definitely going to be this role. And then I'll see another dancer moving and it's so interesting. And I had no idea that dancer was that funny. And so of course now this dancer has to be that role. So it has to be like a little bit of like wiggle room for creativity. But then also, again, I mean, you can't just like I call it playing because sometimes it feels like I'm on a playground, like, woo, you're just like making, but there's an end goal. So at some point, you have to like start putting all the pieces together and like come up with something that makes sense to an audience member.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because, like you said, you're communicating. You are telling, and in this case, you're telling the story of Alice in Wonderland. So, are you telling the whole story in the first book of Alice? Or okay,
Yes, for the most part, the whole
this
story.
is seriously challenging,
It is
Courtney.
very challenging.
Wow.
Very, I know. I was both very, very excited and very nervous about starting this process because I just knew it was going to be a tremendous amount of work, but I was so excited and ready for it. But then also like, oh my gosh, like this is going to be a lot of work. There are a lot of characters and a lot of expectations that goes into Alice in Wonderland. Wait, I just lost my train of thought. I started thinking about Alice in my head. Went down the
I
ra I went down the rabbit
was
hole. You
already
saw me
there on
go.
stage.
You saw me go.
Well, I really appreciate that you kind of gave us some of the basics there because I think sometimes having a dance 101 or a little bit of choreography 101, like we do with music 101, kind of breaks this down for people who can maybe appreciate dance. But if you never had a dance lesson or you never went to, had a ballet lesson or a chance to learn that, when people throw out terminology, you know what it means, but you don't really know what it means until you hear someone who works in the field sort of break it down for you and tell you, well, these are some of the components. And I like how you explained to us how you sort of start with it, because I think much like music composition, composers start at different places. Some hear the music right away and then start to kind of figure out a form. Is this going to be a sonata? Is this going to be a symphony? Is this just going to be a rhapsody of some kind? And what you're talking about is you're starting with something that everyone knows and loves, which is Alice in Wonderland, and then you're going to create the story sort of told through Courtney Lyon's vision and then danced by members of Ballet Quad Cities. So we were talking about, I mean, the scope of the book alone is huge, just everything that happens to Alice. You were alluding to earlier about some of the logistical challenges, like falling down the rabbit hole and thinking how you're going to probably move from some of these really incredible scenes like Alice, where she goes from being very small to being very big with the drink me and going, you know, then of course going into the garden. And we don't want you to feel like you have to share too much with us, because of course we want to talk about this again when we get closer to the performance time and make sure that people get their tickets and go. But can you kind of give us a hint of maybe kind of where you're at? Would you say that you're like halfway through the process, or
I will tell you exactly how many minutes I have done, how many minutes I have left. I keep a running tally every day. I'm like counting those minutes. Like I'm about two-thirds of the way through the ballet. So I'm mostly done with Act One. I have not finished the tea party in its entirety yet. The Mad Hatter's tea party is unfinished, but the rest of Act One is finished. Act Two, we're in the court. I've been working with the cards and the queen and the rabbit, and we've just gotten to the croquet match. That's as far as I got yesterday. I mean, I'm telling you in real time here.
This is so cool.
Yeah, and I worked on the tea party a little bit this morning with some of the dancers. So.
And a lot like how composers, some will hear music in their heads unfolding. It kind of sounds like you sort of see this motion unraveling or unrolling in your mind. You're kind of already creating how this is going to be danced. Would that be fair to say? I mean, are the visuals kind of always there with you?
Well, the first step of what I do whenever I'm starting a new project is I do as much research as possible in terms of studying the original source. So if I'm given a piece of music for a composition, or given a composition to work with for a commission, I study that music inside and out. I study the composer, I study the time period of the music, I study socially what was happening in that country of origin, or you know, historically, why was that piece of music written? You know, I get any kind of information I can about that. So for Alice in Wonderland, of course, I read the book one time, and then two times, and three times. I read it as many times as I could, and then I watched every version of it I could. So I watched the Walt Disney version, and then I watched the Tim Burton version, and then I any kind of resource I can get. So anything analyzing the literature, analyzing the time period, or just anything to do with politics, or just anything that you can find tied in to Alice in Wonderland. I did a tremendous amount of research last summer, and then I just let it sit in my head, and I went on and I worked on choreography for the Nutcracker, and we do Dracula. So I kind of just like let everything sit in my head, if that makes sense. And then when all that was done, I just like let it all come back out. So then it's like the essence of what I learned like starts coming back out, and I don't know. It's kind of fun. I really enjoy researching that way.
And then you can just sort of put this all together, and as you were saying, kind of think in your head, okay, as I'm going through these characters, who would be a great Cheshire Cat? And then that may or may not be who ends up actually dancing it, depending on how everything kind of unrolls from that point on.
So of course I have the long-term goal of I need this ballet on stage. It should look like this, or it should mostly look like this. But then I always surprise myself in the process, and I come up with things like where did that come from, or like why did I get that idea in my head? Where did that come from? What bit of research like got lodged in my head and came out in the form of that? They always refer back when I'm done with the ballet. I can always look at it and figure out where everything came from. Usually I'm just interested in entertaining myself and making myself laugh, or making myself like, oh, that's something I haven't seen before. And then I go down a rabbit hole with an idea or a piece of, you know, it's like I'm never afraid to maybe push the boundaries a little bit. And so this will not be a traditional Alice in Wonderland. This one's not Walt Disney's Alice in Wonderland. I have taken the essence of Lewis Carroll's story about all the Alice has a kind of a, she's like on a quest to understand the world around her, for she's like looking for order in a place that has no rules. And so I think it's something like 35 different small scenes. We're using a Tchaikovsky score. So I have 35 different scenes that I am going through, and every scene has like a different language to it. So it's like a different piece of music, a different character, a different understanding of the world. Alice has to go understand how the world works. She thinks she understands how adults are. She's like a small child in the world, but then when she goes underground, all rules go away. Inanimate objects are the rulers now. The cards are the rulers, and animals talk. And so after a while, she gets comfortable with that. And so it's like, I can kind of push the boundaries at first. For the audience, I'm going to introduce something that's a little bizarre. And then maybe a couple scenes later, something that's even more bizarre. But after a while, you don't think it's that bizarre. So your brain can kind of get
conditioned to the new world
And
around them.
After a while, we just assume, yeah, of course that would happen. Like, oh, does of course.
The cat would appear and disappear.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't even think twice about it. Neither does Alice. So then creatively, choreographically, I get to kind of push my own boundaries. I think, if it's Nutcracker, if I'm doing something very traditional like Nutcracker, I have to be maybe a little bit more within the box. But something like Alice in Wonderland, I can have a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. So when you choreograph, are there is there a specific, I mean, when people write choreography, do they allow for improvisation for the dancers? If you were choreographing a ballet, can you write in one way where you're saying this is going to be largely improvisatory? I kind of see this happening, but if you want to work within some of these forms and routines, show me what you've got. Or do you do more of a planned, that this is how I've planned for this to go, and then the dancers really follow that pretty, like you were talking about, when you're doing more traditional ballet, there it seems like there is more planned choreography, I guess I would say. There's or am I wrong? I mean, is there room for dancers to go ahead and improvise if someone choreographs a dance? Do they leave a lot of room for the dancer's interpretation in that moment? Or do you pretty much lay out the grid? This is how I see this motion.
Well, I think it for me, it doesn't matter what ballet it is. I'm always going to have the same process. I'm always going to start by letting the dancers and myself be as creative as possible. I'm always going to go from brainstorming of like a blank canvas and let's throw stuff all over it, even if it's for something really formal like the Nutcracker. The thing is, I just have to rein myself back in if I know it needs to be a more formal product that's expected, that has a narrative boundary, I guess, that I have to stay within. But since Alice in Wonderland has it is built in, create is like room for me to push the boundaries.
Well, you'd kind of talked earlier too about how maybe you would watch a dancer and maybe they would move, just take a gesture, a motion, and it would be different than what you'd originally said, but you were like, oh, hey, no,
That's
that
great.
works.
Yeah, so that for me is like day one, day two, day three in the studio. We work on this for a couple of months. By the time it gets to stage, you can bet I have okayed every movement that goes on that stage, like up or down, like every way, But we got there because we came from a really loose structure to start with. So every artist in the room, so every dancer in that room, and myself are pulling from everything we've ever experienced in our life. So it's like, what books have you read? What thing that makes you laugh? What cartoon did you watch when you were little? What joke did it's like anything, art, any influence you have in your life comes out of your head. You can like turn into movement and like, I don't, it's like, that's why I say it's like a kid in a candy store on a playground. You can just like play with movement. But then after a while, I am going to form it, time it, every count, every second, every movement is matching the music until the final product that goes on stage, where every dancer knows every bit of movement they will do for an hour and a half, the entire cast. And what it needs to feel like to the audience is that it's the first time the dancers have ever done it. So it needs to be that fresh.
So there has to be that feeling of almost spontaneity to it, like this is
Yeah.
unrolling in real
Yeah,
time.
and great artists, the dancers at Ballet Quad Cities will bring that. They'll bring that to the stage. They'll bring that to their audience. It's why I love working with them, because it's so entertaining. By the time it gets to stage, my work is done, the creative part, and it's their turn just to let loose. So yeah, they've been invested in the process. They've investigated it with me, but by the time all is all said and done, I have sewed up every piece of movement, every music, every transition.
So, if you're just joining us, we have just a few minutes left. Courtney, it's always so fascinating to have you here. Courtney Lyon, Artistic Director for Ballet Quad Cities. We're talking about Alice in Wonderland. Courtney said she's about two-thirds of the way through this production, is coming up in March, and you're going to want to get your tickets and go see this. Have there been any particular characters that have been again, this is so hard. I don't know how, it's probably a totally unfair question,
No, you
that
can
are
ask.
more challenging than others? I mean, you were just talking about finishing up the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. I mean, have there been some, or have there been some that kind of surprised you, that you kind of thought going into it, this is the way I'm going to go, and then, like Alice in the chaotic world, it got a little bit upended and you went in a different way.
Let me look. I have my book with me. I have been using the literature. We go line by line sometimes with the dancers. We use some of the words to inspire, whether it's alliteration or puns or rhymes, like to inspire our movement. So I'm looking at my characters here. This book has stayed by my side for months. Well, I think what's been interesting is, okay, as human beings, we all walk basically the same way, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot, and we go forwards, and we usually have a fairly even gait. Now, you can show that someone's older or younger by walking a little bit differently. You can show if they're happy or sad. You know, you can start, but humans have a particular way of walking. I am working with a lot of things that aren't human. So I have to come up with an entirely new vocabulary for every character. So from the caterpillar to the Cheshire cat to the rabbit to the duchess to the
Jabberwocky.
sleeping dormouse. How does that character walk? How do they run? How do they laugh? How do they. And then we can get to the dance movements. Like you have to completely craft your character.
So this is crafting a whole new world, isn't it? Wow. Well, this has been absolutely fascinating, Courtney, and I hope you'll come back again as we get a little bit closer to performance time, and then we can talk about the finished product. I think it's fascinating to find out and to hear from people that are creating, whether it's music or dance, where you're at in the process. So I appreciate your willingness to share with us how that unfolds and everything that goes into
Oh
that, kind
my
of the
gosh.
backstory,
Of
really.
course.
Because, like you said, by the time people sit down and watch the show, this is the finished product that you're bringing forward, but it's looking like you're just leaping out on stage and people are moving in a way that they feel inspired to do. But this has literally been months and months of work and labor of love. And that's what I think is fascinating. Perhaps it adds a different layer for the audience of appreciation when they can sit down and they've heard you talk about creating this ballet and now they can actually see it. So, can I ask you to come back
Oh
again?
my gosh, of course.
Okay, when we
Of
get
course.
closer to
Yes.
Alice, and then we can talk a little bit more about the particulars of the ballet and the performance times. You can always go to Ballet Quad City's website and get your tickets early. But Courtney Lyon, thank you so much for stopping by. I'll look forward to seeing you probably literally in just a few weeks then.
Awesome,
And we'll
Mindy.
talk about Alice.
Thank you.
Thank you.